So in the late 90s, author Jared Diamond posited that the fate of societies depended upon the arrival of key phenomena produced forks in the road. Guns, germs, and steel. You were a fan of that book, right?
Oh, yeah, it was a great book.
Yeah, it was both an intuitive look at forces that shaped history and a deep dive into why civilization develops the way it has. In a sense, it's kind of a game. I mean, instead of guns, germs, and steel, you could do soot, glass, and oil, right?
Yeah, obviously.
You could, kind of, or lipstick, thread, and grenades to explain.
Yeah, conceivably.
Everything? Well, it doesn't work quite as well, but this push-pull quality of human impulses and needs becoming the narratives of history is pretty tantalizing. And Peter Nowak's new book takes a piece of this called Sex, Bombs, and Burgers, How War, Porn, and Fast Food Created Technology as We Know It. First of all, Peter, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Just great. Now, on one level, this seems completely obvious that, war, that's ubiquitous, and you got to have technology to develop new weapons. Porn, that's, you know, certainly an innovative form there. People are definitely interested. And fast food, certainly a feature of our modern life and has some technological sort of consequences. Why did you pick these three?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I kind of happened upon the links between the three by complete accident. It kind of all goes back to Paris Hilton, actually. You remember a few years back, she kind of became famous for no real reason other than she had this sex video that leaked out onto the internet. And in this video, it was you know, the thing I found most notable about the video was that it was sort of green tinged. It was filmed in night vision, and it kind of trying to remember where I'd seen that before, and I went back to the first Iraq War back in the early 90s, and I realized that was kind of that came from military technology, the whole night vision thing, and so the more I looked into it, the more I found that there was just countless instances of military technology that had kind of transferred over into the mainstream. And then, you know, there was also a pretty solid link there with sex technology, too. You know, it's kind of a well-known truism that the pornography industry has always been they've always been innovators in technology. They've always been quick to adopt new technology.
Well, certainly media technology. I mean, the porn drove the VCR market and then later on the Internet market. And certainly digital technology was a driver of the entire Abu Ghraib scandal in that so many soldiers took miniature digital and internet technology with them to Iraq, and that scandal wouldn't have played out the same way without the technological component.
Yeah, exactly. Media and communication technologies, it's funny because when you're talking about these three areas, the military, pornography, and food industries, they sort of play different roles as far as technological development is concerned. The military does actually create a lot of technology, whereas the porn industry, there's no actual labs with scientists in white coats working on new porn technology. But what they do is they tend to jump on new technologies quickly because those technologies are not regulated, and governments generally leave those technologies alone to develop by themselves. And so where government isn't, that's where pornography likes to be.
So, just to focus on the pornography for just a little bit of a moment here. I mean, yes, it's titillating and we can giggle about it, but it really it is a tiny slice of a much bigger market, which involves biomimicry, where you're basically trying to create objects that mimic biological phenomena that are very pleasurable or very useful. I mean, Velcro, for instance, is basically an imitation of what a plant does, a burdock, when it sticks to your shirt. Pornography has similar sorts of biomimicry kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why we're seeing today, we're seeing some developments in, you know, so far it's been very much a visual medium. But we're seeing developments. I think it's kind of interesting because the industry is being hurt by piracy, just like Hollywood, just like the music industry. And today you're seeing them branch out into mediums that are not just visual. So we're talking about auditory or sensual, or even they're starting to look at things like smell. So these are communications technologies, and some of the big advances that we're going to see over the next couple of years, I'm pretty sure sure that some of them, the pornography industry is going to play some part in developing these new technologies.
It's not just the pornography industry, though. I mean, you could say that the film industry as a whole, I mean, there's lots of special effects departments that get a lot of their technology from military technology. There's many things going on in not just military technology, but they feed each other back and forth.
Yeah, exactly, and that's how the whole the whole amateur film industry started after the Second World War. There was a lot of soldiers that were during the Second World War that started using these smaller 6mm and 8mm film cameras, and they were doing this for military purposes. They were filming training videos and newsreels and that sort of stuff. And these were not Hollywood trained cameramen, but after the war. They went back to their home lives, and they had they were basically semi-professional filmmakers with these smaller, lighter cameras that were actually affordable to the average family. So they went home, and what did they have to do? Well, some of them decided to make films to try to go professional, and some of them succeeded. You know, Oscar-winning directors like Stanley Kramer sort of came out of the military,
and also
but some of them also, went.
Miles and miles of baby boomer kids in home videos that also, drove the home film industry became the home video industry becomes, the proliferation of, cat pictures on YouTube. I mean, there's a direct line from the intelligence gathering. Before we go, though, explain how the Big Mac is driving this. Where does the hamburger fit?
Right, yeah. So the food, that's sort of, I think, the thing that people take most for granted, at least in our developed societies, which is that food technology is responsible for everything else. So when we're talking about companies like McDonald's, they helped stabilize the food supply and food distribution systems, and there's an awful lot of technology that goes into this, whether it's we're talking about actually making the food last for weeks at a time or whatever, or transporting it around the country and refrigerating it and that sort of thing and processing it, etc. So a country can't really worry about, or people in developed countries can't really worry about, can I get a plasma TV or can I get the new version of the iPhone if you're worried about what you're going to eat the next day. And that's something, that's a luxury that we often forget about in developed countries. And like I said, that comes from a lot of technology. And there's a very strong military link there too, because the first real customer of food technology is inevitably the Army.
That
going
needs
all the way
mass
back.
Supplies of mobile, French fries and, easily disposable and digestible of carbs to basically drive those armies. Peter Nowak, thanks so much.
All right, thanks very much.
Peter Nowak's technology journalist, author of the new book, Sex, Bombs, and Burgers, How War, Porn, and Fast Food Create the technology as we know it, created technology as we know it. Thanks so much.
One technology that we know is TV. We know Americans are watching more than ever. We want you to finish this sentence for us. You know you've watched too much TV when? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.